May it please the court.
You may proceed.
I am proud to represent Clean Line Energy Partners. This matter concerns the construction of a $2.3 billion privately funded wind transmission project from Kansas to Indiana called the Grain Belt Express. For our state, this would bring not only clean, renewable wind power to tens of thousands of Missourians, but also generate millions of dollars in savings on energy bills and provide over $7 million in yearly property tax payments to our schools, first responders, and other entities along its path. Also, it directly helps Missouri meet the growing renewable energy requirements overwhelmingly passed by the voters of our state in 2008. 4 out of 5 PSC commissioners found this project in the public interest after extensive fact findings and hearings. But the PSC denied granting the Certificate of Convenience and Necessity, or CCN, based on an erroneous interpretation of its statutory jurisdiction. The Eastern District Court of Appeals correctly held the PSC had jurisdiction to approve this project. The proper legal analysis in this matter focuses directly on Chapter 393-170. We agree the Eastern District Court of Appeals was correct in holding that, and I quote the Eastern District, "The legal issue presented in this case is simple, and ultimately why it is so important. It's vital that the predictability of over 70 years of unbroken case law interpreting the statute and PSC practice distinguishing between line and area certificates of convenience and necessity be continued. At stake is the very jurisdiction of the PSC to perform its essential role. This also acknowledges the continuing desire by the affected counties for the PSC to determine whether this project is in the public interest. Let's take just a minute, Your Honors, to go through the specific framework of this statute. I think we'll all find it very helpful. There are 3 distinct sections. Each serves a different function. Section 1, referred to as the line CCN, relatively simple. It says to begin construction, you need permission and approval of the commission, Public Service Commission. Nothing else. Section 2, area CCN, refers to the authority to provide retail service to a specified area, which is commonly called an area CCN. And it says, to exercise any right or privilege under any franchise, permission and approval of the commission is necessary, but before such certificate shall be issued, there must be a showing that has received the required consent of the proper municipal authorities. Clearly, they're different. You get to Section 3, which is a CCN procedure, and it carries forward that long-held distinction between area and line CCOs by saying that such construction, referring to one, or such exercise of right privilege are franchise, area, and the or in between those two designates, yet again, that clear distinction between those two. Now, we can all see that a myriad of problems occur if, as the ATXI decision did, you subjugate the Public Service Commission's regulatory authority to determine the public interest, to literally go through what are called the 5 Tartan factors in a multi-day hearing, thousands of pages, all sorts of action to make that statewide determination. If you subjugate that by putting in front of that a non-affected separate statute from the counties, then you put a myriad of permissions, not only that one, which is incorrect, but you put an opening for a myriad of other permissions, making it impossible. Plus, as we sit here today, counties are still requesting, have letters posted, requesting that the Public Service Commission make that finding prior to the time that we would work with them on the road crossing, a separate statute, 229, that deals with road safety and road crossings.
So are you saying that right now all you're asking for is application under subsection 1, but that at some point in the future you might be needing approval from county commissions if you want to do the area CCN, or maybe from the the 229 statute?
Yes and no. Yes, we are seeking that approval now under the line CCN. It is not the intent of my client to ever provide service. This is a transmission line. This is a construction project, a construction line to move all of that high-value wind energy out in Kansas across the Midwest, dropping about 500 megawatts of it here in the Show Me State to be used to keep downward pressure on the cost here. But it is not the intention, Your Honor, of my client to be a service provider, a retail service provider of electricity. This is a construction transmission project.
But you agree at some point as you're crossing roads, you'll need those various county commissions to approve it, but they use different factors and criteria for that are set out in the 229.
Absolutely, Your Honor. We look forward to working with the counties to do just that. I should note, 229 is a very narrow statute, and it's called assent, not consent, equal parties, not one giving an order to another. And it has been used, you know, we all drive home a lot. There's lines and culverts under roads all over our state. And that statute, very old statute, designed to make sure that we're working with the county engineer, that crossings were safe and appropriate in places. Merely that responsibility. So a narrow one, but yes, you can rest well assured, we look forward to, assuming we're successful, going back and getting the certificate from the PSC and then going to those counties for those assents.
I know, and one of the briefs addressed this, that 170.2 refers to consent of the proper municipal authorities. It doesn't say county authorities. And 386.020, governing the Public Service Commission, defines municipality to include a city, village, or town. It does not list counties. So is that part of what you're supporting? Your argument that there's no requirement to get county approval.
One of the luxuries of our analysis, the simplicity of it, is we don't get to two. We're over here. We're asking for a line CCN. We applied for a line CCN. When we file our application, we're seeking this. While that's not irrelevant to someone else, for this particular case, to rule other than we have, as what Eastern District Court of Appeals said, would make one surplusage. It would make it mean nothing. So, no, Your Honor, while we do believe those counties, as you build it, have rights, we do not believe, and as far as that issue between municipal and county and all this sort of stuff, that question came up at the Eastern District. They looked at it. There was some secondary briefing about it, but they, in footnotes, said that it's not relevant to the decision, the narrow decision necessary at this time in this case.
Opposing counsel obviously disagrees with your dichotomy between line CCNs and area CCNs and says that you have to look at sub 2 also, that there's not a distinct law governing both. Can you address their argument?
I kind of respect courts of appeals, which have been doing it and saying there are distinctions in Harline, Stockaquilla, Cass County, and a myriad of other counties, as well as the rules of the PSC that draw that distinction. While the Office of Public Counsel is entitled to his or her opinion, they are not entitled to misstate the law. Very clearly, the law in this state, with no case ruling otherwise, for 70-plus years, and the statute and the rules designate between the two. With that, Your Honor, let me turn it over to my joint for the folks from municipalities, if I could. Any other questions for me at this point? Thank you.
May it please the Court. I'll address Judge Stitt's question. Subsection 2 of 393.170 does not apply at all to this case because the kind of county franchise or county assent that these folks would have you believe applies there does not come from 229.100. The only thing that subsection 2 refers to is a municipal authority's permission to serve an area. The 229.100 county assent is an entirely different kind of franchise. It was not contemplated to be part of 393.170.2, and it is so separate that when Grain Belt gets ready to construct this line, after it receives the CCN that four of the five commissioners believe should happen, they will then obtain the permission to cross the roads before they build the line. The problem here is the word franchise has been used very generically, as though 393.170.2 is not referring to a very specific type of franchise that comes only from a municipality when a provider of electricity wants to provide electric service within the borders of that municipality. MUCMUC is here today asking this court to overturn the report and order so that at least the citizens of 39 of its cities may take the advantage of the renewable energy, affordable renewable energy that will flow to their hundreds of thousands of citizens. We've already addressed the first issue somewhat with this court, the legal issue, the fact that the ATXI court decision is wrong, frankly, because the parties failed the court there. And we have gotten bad law here because the commission construed that ATXI decision even beyond what that court intended. It's this court's opportunity now to straighten it out and honor the 60 to 100 years of case law authority that has always cleanly divided the two very distinct types of certificates of convenience and necessity. One just for a line that does not serve an area, the second for the actual service of customers within an area. Muchmuck also has a second issue that has to do with due process. And it is unique to Muchmuck because this commission decision could not have been reached but for the evidence that was accepted wrongly over Muchmuck's due process objection. This entire commission decision is grounded on a single conclusion of law based on a finding of fact that is grounded on two documents that were accepted into the record of evidence over Muchmuck's timely due process objection. The whole thing is a house of cards that should fall and would have fallen if those two pieces of evidence would not have been accepted.
And those had to do with the ATXI record?
They did, a case to which Muchmuck was never a party.
But why does it,
The third argument that Muchmuck would bring here today comes out of that due process argument. The commission's unlawful and unreasonable action, if it's allowed to stand, will operate to deprive at least these 39 cities of the hundreds of millions of dollars of savings that four of the five commissioners have recognized already to exist in these contracts. And I will stop and save this time for rebuttal. Thank you, Court.
Good morning. May it please the Court. Jennifer Heinz on behalf of the Commission. So the question before this Court is whether the Commission has statutory authority, which would make Commission's actions lawful, since we're here under 386.510, to issue a certificate of convenience and necessity for the construction of a long-distance electric transmission line before the counties have issued assent for the projects under 229.100. So that question has come before the Commission twice in recent years, and it has twice been appealed, and we have twice been told that we got it wrong. So in the first case, in the ATXI opinion, the Western District read 393.170 in such a way that 393.170.2 did apply to ATXI's application. And because ATXI had not provided proof of county assent to the commission, ATXI held the commission did not have the statutory authority to issue that certificate. Based on that holding,
That holding didn't specifically address and reject the line versus area. It didn't even mention sub one, though, right?
The opinion did not mention subsection
so
one.
So why do we care what the parties said in the briefing? We care about the opinion, and it doesn't even interpret the section of the statute that opposing counsel says governs.
Right. The opinion doesn't mention subsection 1 or subsection 2. It doesn't mention the line of cases. But I think it would be a little bit strange to expect the commission not to acknowledge what had happened in that case because it had happened just a few months prior and the commission was a party. So some parties thought that it was important to introduce into this record something that showed that the Western District had at least been made aware of the case law and it had been made aware of.
But the only thing that's precedential is what was in the published decision.
Yes.
It doesn't purport to interpret 170.1. Is that correct?
Correct.
So and is that the one that, do you agree that's the one that governs here? Because this is construction of a line as opposed to an area CCN?
Right. So In light of the ATXI opinion, when Greenbelt's application came before the commission, we said, well, we have this case law, and it controls. It's directly on point. The facts are the same. We don't have any choice but to deny Greenbelt's application.
I understand, but do you believe if 170.1 applies, is this a line CCN or an area CCN, or is there no distinction between the two?
This is what would be called a line CCN.
And does 170.1 require municipal approval?
No, subsection 1 doesn't make any reference to authority from other sources other than the commission at all.
And ATXI, perhaps incorrectly, did not purport to hold otherwise, right?
Right.
I mean, they didn't address 1.
They did not address 1.
So why were you bound by something they didn't say in a section they didn't interpret?
The facts were exactly the same. The commission felt that it was bound by it because we can't say, well, we don't like your opinion, and so we're not going to follow.
No, I understand. I'm asking legally. You're saying you're bound by something they didn't hold because you thought they should have acknowledged and held it. It's just an odd situation. I understand.
The facts are exactly on point, Your Honor, and they were brought under the same law. I mean, 386 or 393-170 is a single statute, so we were obviously going under that statute. We had one case with exactly the same facts, and we felt we had to follow that case. Now, the Eastern District obviously read the opinion very differently, and they said, well, obviously this is subsection 1, and obviously it doesn't require these county assents before you can issue the certificate. So the Eastern District did what I, as the attorney, asked the Western District to do in ATXI, but the Western District did not.
Are there three kinds of relevant assents here? There's the PSC's assent. If you want an area CCN, you have to get assent from the various different cities, the municipalities, if you're a company that wants to provide service to that municipality. And that's totally separate from the county assent, which is in 229, is that right?
That's correct. So the cases that have gone before, right, so we have this sort of odd wrinkle in this case, which unlike the previous case law about 1 and 2, Greenbelt and ATXI were companies that were never going to request service authority.
Right.
So they were never going to require subsection 2 area certificates. So the cases that have talked about subsection 1 and subsection 2 have used that term franchise kind of loosely, and it generally means permission to use the road in a way that other parties or other entities can't use the road. So does that mean you can come and provide service? Yes. ATXI obviously thought that it also meant, can you construct across a road as provided in 229-100? I don't think it's clear from the case law that that is actually what was intended by subsection 2, and I think that franchise in that subsection does refer to service authority.
To municipalities, you mean, or to local, or to...
Right. So the franchise to provide service generally comes from an incorporated town or municipality or city, but it doesn't have to because there are unincorporated places and counties and they like to have electricity too. So it can come from the county if it's in an unincorporated area if you're talking about service. Yeah. So there are the two different kinds of authority in the statute. So the Eastern District recognized that and said, well, we think you shouldn't have followed ATXI, which again, we can't do. And because we can't resolve the conflict, I think the Eastern District wisely sent the case here for this court to resolve that split. And so we get some case law where we can apply the correct reading of 393-170 to applications like this one, where a company is requesting only one kind of authority from the commission and not both. Now, I would want to put a little bit of a break on what's been happening here today. So the question before the commission, the court, is how should the commission read 393-170 and apply it to these applications? If the court agrees with the Western District, then you can just affirm our order denying the application. If, however, you are inclined to agree with the Eastern District and the case comes back to the commission, that's where the commission then has the authority to issue a determination on the merits. So you've heard some stuff about 4 out of 5 commissioners said, well, there was a concurring opinion that came out, but it wasn't part of the final order. It's not before the court today. And it doesn't necessarily tie the commission's hands if the case goes back on remand. So we're not exactly sure how the case would come out, and I think it's premature for this court to opine on that, in your opinion. Here, I don't think it's necessary. And I do have a motion to dismiss pending in front of this court as well. So in addition to the appellants you've heard from already this morning and the interveners who intervened only on the side of the appellants, MLA, the Missouri Landowners Alliance, also filed a notice of appeal. And the commission filed a motion to dismiss that notice of appeal, that dismissed the appeal, because MLA does not claim that the order that's before you, the order denying the application, is either unlawful or unreasonable. It, in fact, supports that order. So its appellate issues are entirely based on what would happen on remand, and we're not there yet. So under 386.510, I don't think that's a proper appeal, and I would ask that you dismiss the appeal. And now I will cede the rest of my time to Mr. Agathon so he can speak for his client unless the court has other questions for me. Thank you.
May it please the court.
May you proceed.
I only plan to address one issue here today. That's the one that we had addressed in our argument number one in response to Greenbelt's brief, which basically says that under subsection 2 of the CCN statute, what they have really applied for is a franchise, and that therefore what they call the line CCN doesn't really apply. Now, they refer to it as a line CCN, but as you'll see, the statute itself never uses that term. Nor does the statute ever use the term area CCN. We're asking the court to take a slightly different approach, and rather than get into parsing the differences between an area CCN and a line CCN, we've got an argument which I believe is very logical, it's straightforward, and it actually incorporates and depends on the statutory language of subsection 2.
Doesn't the statute, sub 3, and the other provisions distinguish between construction and exercise of a franchise? It says construction or such exercise of the right privilege or franchise. And does your argument recognize that distinction?
It does, and I think if you only look at subsection 2, what it says there is that if a utility exercises any right or privilege under any franchise, then before the PSC can issue a certificate, the utility must gain the consent.
And I understand that, but they say they're not doing that. They're just engaging construction of an electric plant, and 386.020 does define electric plant as all real estate fixtures and personal property used or to be used for or in connection with or to facilitate the generation, transmission, distribution, sale, and furnishing of electricity. So this line is construction of an electric plant, which the statute distinguishes from a franchise. Is that correct?
I don't think it distinguishes. I think that what they are asking for is the exercise of a right or privilege under a franchise.
I know you do, but then why do we have someone that deals, sub one, that deals with construction? Can you tell me to what that would apply, if not this?
Well, of course, we're going back to a statute that was enacted in 1917, I believe. And it was taken from New York law, which was enacted in our law was 1913. The New York statute from which it was taken was 1907, I believe. So we're going way back in history. But I think one can logically say that the legislature, the General Assembly, when they passed this law, said, okay, we don't want anyone to exercise a franchise without PSC consent. But if, for some reason, a manufacturer were to want to construct a power plant or connect to a transmission line going overhead on its own private property, it could do that in the absence of...
So it depends on whether you're saying it. You don't think this is an electric plant. It counts as construction of an electric plant under the statute.
No, I do believe it's an electric plant.
You do believe it is?
Yes.
Okay.
But
okay.
Our argument is that if you look strictly at subsection 2, and you look at the definition of franchise as defined by Missouri state law and other authorities, it certainly includes, let me back up, when a county commission says, okay, we grant you the right to string your line, your high voltage transmission line across, under, or over through the entire breadth of our county, that amounts to a franchise, as that term is used by Missouri courts and other authorities. So if that's true, if what the county is giving to Grain Belt is a franchise, then it falls clearly within subsection 2. They can't exercise that franchise without first getting the PSC approval and also getting the consent of the local municipal authorities.
Well, what about this argument that statute doesn't mean what it says you say because it doesn't say anything about county commissions there. It's talking about municipalities only.
We addressed that issue about municipality consent versus county consent in response to our brief to Sierra Club and Renew Missouri. And we have two arguments. First, they didn't preserve that issue. The Public Service Commission considers county consent to come within the term municipal.
But not road consent. County, if the county's acting like a municipality, they said building an area, service area, the road commission's in a different statute.
The PSC has always included county consent there, and the appellants did not preserve the argument.
I'm not talking about preservation of argument. I'm just trying to understand your argument about what that statute means. And it would seem to me if it was in line with what you say it was intended to do, it would certainly do more than just ask the municipalities, because they would certainly know main distribution lines oftentimes don't run through municipalities but run through rural Missouri.
Right. I'm not sure what the question is, Your Honor.
Well, I'm just wondering if the limitation of municipal authorities down there cuts against your argument that the statute was intended to be construed the way you're suggesting.
I don't believe so. I think that it was meant to include county consent. It says municipal consent, but I think that has always been construed to include county consent.
Even though 386 says municipality is city, village, or town. That's the statute governing the PSC.
It said it includes cities, villages, and towns. It doesn't, like some of those subsections, say here's how we define it. Municipality means city, village, or town. It says it includes them.
Okay.
And our argument would be, just like in many of the other subsections, the include word is not restrictive to just those particular items which are listed afterwards.
Your time is expired. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
May it please the court. I want to follow up on that last point with respect to the distinction between municipal authorities and counties. And there, I think it's important to note, as the Eastern District also noted, that that's just an academic discussion, because when a utility applies for a line CCN for construction approval, we fall exclusively under Section 1, and then, of course, the procedure followed in Section 3. The municipal authority's language is in reference to Section 2 only, and you can see it's the second sentence in that section that starts with "before such certificate shall be issued." And the certificate that's being discussed there is the area CCN certificate, for which Grain Belt Express has not applied and did not seek PSC approval. So the second sentence of that subsection is not even applicable here, whether or not it incorporates counties or not. But I also want to emphasize that neither appellant or respondent are here before you today attempting to defend the reasoning or the outcome of the ATXI decision. In fact, the report and order that's being appealed expressly states that the commissioners disagreed with ATXI, but they were operating under the erroneous belief that they were bound by the holding. As Judge Stith observed, at most that was an implication from that holding. And we know from this court's decisions going back to the early 1900s, starting with Broadwater versus Wabash, that implications from cases are not entitled to precedential value. So the PSC was not bound by ATXI. But now that we're before this court on appellate review, the court takes a de novo review. And the only party that's attempting to defend the reasoning is the intervener MLA. And they're doing so based on this distortion of the franchise language, which even the ATXI court did not adopt. ATXI based their decision by just construing Section 2. They did not say anywhere in that decision that Section 2 somehow applied to Section 1, which is the only section that we're operating under. And so the problem, of course, with the distortion of the franchise language is that it reads out the entire first section of this statute, which the legislatures intentionally separated into three separate sections in 1967 to designate the different authorities, which courts uniformly have found. And of course, in Section 3, distinguishes between the construction or the franchise authority. And we are only seeking authority under franchise. Unless there's any questions, I'll cede the rest of the time to... I'm sorry, we're only seeking construction authority. I'll cede the rest of my time to much more.
The commission has agreed that the ATXI opinion did not address 393.170.1 or line CCNs. So as this court has noted through its numerous questions, the ATXI opinion actually did not prohibit the commission from granting Grain Belt the line CCN that it seeks and that four of the five commissioners have found necessary for the public convenience. The commission construed that opinion unlawfully and unreasonably, and its report and order should be overturned. The Eastern District Court of Appeals correctly stated the law, and we respectfully ask this court to clear all of this up so that the affordable, renewable energy may flow to all of Missouri's cities and their citizens. Thank you.
Thank you. This will be submitted.